Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Merino.
So if you will open your Bibles with me, I'm going to continue in the book of James. Book of James. Do you guys have it? James chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 7 and 8. And it reads, "For let not the man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." I'm going to read it once again. "For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." I'm going to continue as I did last week. We're talking about preaching on when you ask God for wisdom. The Bible says that to ask in faith. And he says, no doubting. Don't doubt when you ask him in faith. But then James, he goes on to say, "He who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." And today I'm going to focus on this part that when you do ask, you got to believe. Amen. You got to believe. You have to believe to receive. Amen. You have to believe to receive. And not just wisdom. That means in everything in your life is that when you believe, you will receive. And he says at the end, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just a reminder, church, tomorrow there will be prayer, but no discipleship because we have a pastor's meeting. So just in case, if you would show up, amen, you're going to face a bunch of pastors. So. Praise God. Amen. So James, there's just something about when you fully trust and we're called to trust God alone. And last week's message was about that if you were in need of wisdom, the Bible says, let us ask of God. And we preach about how God is a generous God, that he'll give you as much of wisdom as you ask him. And he's not going to go after you or think bad about you, because whatever you might be facing, any challenge in life, he's not going to be reproaching you or criticize you for asking. And we also shared about the power of asking when you ask. Especially when it comes to God, when you ask God, all over the Bible, even the Gospels, you will see Jesus, he was always talking about, you know, that if we ask, we will receive. But then today, my focus is that when you do ask, don't doubt. Have faith, but our faith has to be in God alone. And I want to share with you this morning that we can't mix it up. Our faith has to be in God completely. It can't be in 2, 3, 4 different things at the same time. God wants you to put your faith, your trust in him alone. I mean, I think that's a fair deal, knowing that God is mighty, God is powerful, God is good, God honors faith. So God loves it when we put our faith in Him alone. Even when you read the Ten Commandments, He talks about, you shall not worship no other God except me. So when we have faith, or we're believing, or we ask in faith, James, he says, do not waver. You know how easy it is to waver? And I'm going to show you right now. He doesn't want us, James is teaching us not to be divided in our loyalty. Because of so many distractions or so many offers, if I could put it that way, that the world gives. So many things coming up every minute. Something new is always coming out. Something's always happening in the world. And it's real easy to lose focus and to waver and be divided even in our loyalty. See, but James is trying to tell us that not to be that way. He says, because if you are divided in your loyalty or you begin to waver, he compares and he says, you're going to be like the wave of the sea. And James, he says, you're going to be blown and tossed by the wind from one side to the other because there's no stability. There's no loyalty. There's no God alone. And he says, and if you are that way, he says, don't expect. He says, James says, don't expect to receive anything from the Lord. I mean, we already know in the Old Testament, the Bible talks that God is a jealous God. God wants you to trust him all the way. God wants loyalty from you and for me. Loyalty, obviously, it's loyalty towards God. Then from there, you could break it down in everything else in life. Loyalty is important. How many believe that, church? In a marriage, we're called to be loyal. You're called to be loyal to your spouse. Amen? In church, you're loyal to your church. At the workplace, you are loyal at your workplace. Amen? So loyalty is powerful. It's a good trait. But see, loyalty is a trait that goes beyond mere faithfulness. Loyalty speaks about, and I'm focusing right now, between a man or a believer and God. Loyalty, hear me, church, is about commitment. See, you and I, we're called to be committed to God. Amen? How many are committed to God? Number two, it speaks about honesty. God wants us to be honest with him. Very important. And number three, well, I'm using the word, but respect, but the Bible talks about, you know, giving him reverence. It's a reverence of the Lord that's saying, you alone, God, are my Savior. You, God, alone is my everything. You're my healer. You're my best friend. You're my doctor. You are my everything. See, that's what God wants from you and from me. I mean, think about it. I don't think God wants, you know, one day it's all about Jesus, but the next day, it's about somebody else. Amen? So which one is it? Hallelujah. See, God, I mean, think about it. And I'm going to give you a couple of little illustrations in the Bible where God is all about, like basically he is saying, are you going to believe me? Are you going to trust me? Because I'll give you the victory. I'll bless you. I'll help you. I'll get you out of your mess. But you gotta have faith in me. Amen. You can't say one day, okay, you know, today, this day, it's all about Jesus. Amen. Then 4 days later, it's not about Jesus. It's about somebody else. Come on, church. And that's the reason why James, he says, for let not that a man, speaking of you and me, don't suppose. Here it is, church. Don't think you're going to receive anything from the Lord. Those are powerful words from James. He says, don't let man suppose that he's going to receive anything from the Lord. I mean, you got to go all in with Jesus, church. Amen? I mean, I don't have to tell you, when you read the Bible, God wants you all in. He doesn't like for you to go be halfways. One foot in, one foot out. That's in the book of Revelations. He talks about either hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. You want both worlds. Now, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. But see, God wants loyalty. God wants commitment. To have faith in God. To believe Him alone. That, I mean, God has showed you over the years that He's been too good to you. God has answered your prayers. God has done the impossible. God has moved powerfully in your life. I mean, might as well continue having faith in God that He alone is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And see, James, he says, so don't suppose that you're going to receive anything from the Lord. He says, because this is who you are, he says. He says, you are a double-minded man. What is a double-minded man? Well, a lot of people say that literally it means two souls. It's like saying you have two souls. One soul is just focus on this earth. The other one is on earth, on heaven, I mean. It's like, he says, you're a double-minded man, he says, two souls. One for the earth and one for heaven. See, God wants all of you to be in God in heaven. James, he talks about that every good gift, every blessing comes from above. See, it comes from above, but God makes it happen here on earth. But see, sometimes it's so easy to lose focus and just trust the earth. And what I mean earth is the things from the earth. It could be man. It could be the money. It could be the workplace. It could be a person. You'd be surprised. People have more faith in someone or in things instead of God alone. I mean, think about it. Why two souls? Because number one, here, your soul, when the Bible talks about the soul of a person, it talks about your self-consciousness. Your soul is your mind. Your soul is your mind. What is the mind or the soul consist of? Number one, it speaks about your intellect. Hear me, church. It talks about your mind, your thoughts, your reason. And your mind and your thoughts or your reason may yield or may follow to what? Unbelief. And even as far as to say not only unbelief, but confusion. That's why you got so many, hear me, that's why you got a lot of believers confused. They hear too many things. Too many messages. Messages, the word of God is the word of God. But many times there's different beliefs. So it could bring unbelief. It can bring what? Confusion. And then not only is the intellect part, the thought or the mind, it also talks about the emotions, your feelings. Your feelings, your temperament, your concerns. So your feelings, your temperate, your concerns may yield, hear me church, may yield to what is right, what God says. But if not, if it's out of control, it will yield to what? It can yield to bitterness, lust, anger, and etc. So, see, the Bible, God created you spirit, soul, and man. But James is saying, hey, when you're trying to live the both worlds, he says, you're a double-minded man. You can't even handle one soul, you're trying to take two. You know what I'm saying? He says, you can't even deal with that one soul that I've created in you. But a double-minded man wants both worlds. But it doesn't work that way, church. That's why you got a lot of believers unstable. They're unstable. One day they're on fire. One day the fire is out. One day, you know, just watch how people change. Just watch how, you know, suddenly they're praising God, worshiping, and then suddenly the fire is out. Let me say something, church, because now you want to do both. You want to do both, and you can't. You lose the your daily good habits that you had. You don't have them anymore. Because now you're focusing on something else when God is priority. He's number one. Amen? Let me tell you, church, nothing should take the place of God. I'm going to say that again. Nothing should take the place of God. Your spiritual life is the most important thing. And then you got your will. So I talked about intellect, emotion, and your will. What does that mean? That means your choices you make every day. You're unstable and then you're making choices. Your actions. And many times those actions can take you to disobedience. See, church, you have to decide that you're going to be stable, you're going to be faithful. And I'm not talking about, church, and I know we always say this, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about faithfulness, stableness. You're the same. Hallelujah. So he says he's a double-minded man. Unstable. Look what he says. What happened? Who is a double-minded man? You're unstable in everything you do. I could talk about so much, you know, about the church or your own life or even your friendships or workplace. I could talk so much about that. When someone is a double-minded man, you are unstable in all you do. I mean, that's what James says. He says, he is a double-minded man, unstable. Look what he says, in all his ways. You're unstable in everything. We can't mix it up, church. We can't mix the world. And hear me, the world needs to hear the gospel. The world needs Jesus. The world needs to repent. We're called to be the light in the world, the salt in the world. But don't bring the world in the church. Don't bring the world. Hear me, church. Don't bring the world in your own life. The world shouldn't impact the church. The church is called to impact the world. I'm all for the world. I'm not that type of Christian either that, oh, don't talk to me, you're a sinner. I'm not talking about that. Because when you're full of the Holy Ghost, when you're strong in the Lord, nothing can knock you down. Amen? When you're faithful to the Lord, nothing's going to move you, church. Now, if you're, you know, unstable and you're messing around, you're not serious about Jesus and you want both worlds, and now that's a whole different ballgame. Be careful. Amen? Be careful. Because it's so easy, church. It's so easy to be influenced by the world. And when I talk about the world, I'm talking also about how people talk. I'm all for it. I love being around people that are not believers in Christ. I don't mind being with family members or friends. Because I know that at that moment I could be a blessing to them. I could be a light to them. I could be the salt to them. I know that God, if he wants to, he can use me for his glory and honor to minister to them. Amen. If God's will, he could give me favor and grace at that moment. But I don't want to be influenced by the world. I don't want them to take away what God has called me to do. I don't want the world to take away my prayer life, my devotion in the Word of God, living a holy. See, you got to be careful, church. Too many temptation. That's why a lot of your habits, you've lost them. And good habits. Many had good habits, but you lost them. For being unstable. This is not about obligation, church. This is about obedience. Showing up for the Lord. Showing up for Jesus. That you want to please Jesus. You want to serve Jesus. You want to love Jesus. You want to walk with Jesus. Amen. You want to do the will of Jesus. Hallelujah. There's a passage in the Old Testament. They're type of kind of challenging Elijah. And Elijah, because a man of God, a man of prayer, a man of faith, he took up a challenge. He stood up and he says, I know my God. My God can handle business. My God, when I pray, he hears. When I call upon him, God answers. See, that's the faith we got to have, church. That we're so full of God. We're so 100% sold out for Jesus that we don't need anything else. We don't need nobody else. Amen. What's the newest thing? What's the latest thing? No. I got God. God can do anything. And Elijah, he stood up, and the Bible says that he stood in front of them and he said, how much longer? Look what he tells them. The New Living Translation, he says, how much longer will you waver? He says, how much longer are you going to waver? Basically, he's saying straight up, he's saying, I mean, which one is it? Who are you believing? Are you going to believe God or are you going to believe the other god, Baal? Which one is it? Come on, church. I'm asking you this morning, which one is? Are you going to continue to waver? Which one is it? I'm not going to speak on it, but there's a lot of, lately I've been seeing, there's a lot of confusion. Talking about that Christianity wasn't first and this is first. And because of that, these people, you know, they still have idols. They still, you know, believe this and that only because, oh, you know, that's because that's what they taught me. That's the way. But church, the time comes when you dig the word, you get in the word, and the Bible tells you, you shall have no other gods before me. So he tells them, how much longer are you going to waver? Hobbling between two opinions. See, that's the way it is, church. There's always two opinions, two souls. One tells you to, you know, to seek God, serve God, but the other one tells you all kinds of stuff. He's the other soul is telling you the opposite. You got two opinions all the time. You can't stick to one. Oh, you know, when you stick to one, you say, you know what? The Bible says. Or like Jesus said it even strong. He said, it is written. But nowadays it's like, well, I guess if you say so, yeah, I guess that's what it is. It's the truth, man. You got people like that. You tell them they don't know how to speak the word. They stay quiet. They're thinking about the other people's opinion. You got to be straight, church. Brother, with all due respect, but that's not even in the Bible. Well, brother, it's because that's what tradition I grew up. I respect that, you know, I grew up that way too. But let me tell you something. This is what the Word of God says. You can't have two opinions, three opinions, four opinions, five opinions. You can't say that Muhammad is the true God, Allah is the true God, or this God. No, there's only one Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross of Calvary more than 2,000 years ago. And he says, if the Lord is God, follow him. See, that's what I'm telling you, church. If the Lord is God, follow him. If he's your Savior, follow him. Saw this interview. Young lady converted to Islam. 3 years with the Islam, and they asked her, why did you convert to Islam? She says, I just wanted to do something different. And she says, I asked them, are your parents Christians? I think so. One of them is, she said something, and she goes, and I think, and she was all, she goes, and I think the other one was a Mormon. I'm not even sure. He said. But here it is. But the gentleman broke it down. The gospel right away. And right away you could hear that the Lord touched her, and she gave her life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord broke her, and right there she received Jesus Christ. And you could sense that she was sensing that peace, the presence of the Lord. There's no other way. Follow him. You already experienced him. He set you free. He broke those chains of bondage over your life. He restored you. He forgave you of your sins. He gave you back everything you had lost. Amen. He gives you eternal life. He wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have salvation. You are saved by his grace. Amen. And you already know, church, you already know that when you're faithful to God and you walk humbly before him with a humble heart, you know that God is very good to you. You don't have to fight it. You don't have to do anything. You know that his grace alone, God has been too good to you. Why not follow him, church? All the way. Why not surrender everything to him all the way? I bind that those thoughts, that lying, I'm a lying devil that tells you you're missing out on the world. I've gotten those thoughts. The world is better. Look at you. You could be out there with the friends. You know, and the devil's a liar. Imagine if you weren't married to Monica no more. Lying devil. Amen. Thank you. Amen. You know, and the devil works that way. Look, you don't have to deal with none of this in the church. Be your own. Well, no, but you got to bind that thing right away and say, no. God called me. God chose me. God gifted me. But see, that is real easy, and it happens even stronger and stronger when you divide church, your life, when you want the both worlds. That's going to happen. And some of you have said that, confessed it. I don't want nothing with him. I don't want nothing with her or this and that and that. Blah, 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 blah. And you go off. But then the Lord touches you, or the Lord speaks to you through a worship song, through a short message on the Christian radio, or someone just give a word to your life and you shake it off and you say, what was I thinking? This is not the will of God. Go back to the hood. Hallelujah. Now don't get it, because right away when you hear a message like this, your mind's already thinking like, whoa, what? So that means that, no, I'm not talking. I'm talking about you being, you're covered with the blood of Jesus. There's a hedge of protection around you. Amen. That doesn't mean you can't go eat. Like, I'll give you an example. What's that one place right here on Tennessee? Birds and Beer. I'm not going to Birds and Beer because it says beer. Well, you go eat your burger, that's it. You know what I'm saying? It's because, you know, they're wearing these small shorts and mind your own business. Well, don't look. And to top it off, because you're a believer in Christ, you live a good tip. Don't confuse a tip with the flyer. Oh, that sinner needs to get saved. Now, I'm not leaving a tip, but I'm going to leave a flyer from the church. Even worse, you're burning the church now. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could go anywhere. What I mean by that, anywhere, anything that you know, that you go to the mall, anywhere. That's why you put on the armor of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Even car shows. Amen. Just in case. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, I grew up in that stuff, but there's nothing wrong with it. It's when you go on a trip. See, there's people that can't handle it around friends. You right away, you convert to them. But if you know that, don't even go. Don't even get near if it's going to affect you. Right away, you start out saying, hey, God bless. 2 hours later, what's up, homie? You know, and ya se te, ya, you're already, your language is. you know what I'm saying? When you least expect it, you're right there. Oh, man, I don't even want to go there, but whatever. But see, Jesus said, I'm a finish already. Jesus said, Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Did you hear that, church? No one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other. See, here's the problem, church. Anything in life, you can do. But make sure that you love God more than anything else. The problem is that what happens is that we start loving other things and less of God. Less of God, and we love the other thing. And that's proven. Less of God, and we love the other thing, or that person, or whatever it is. And everything of God, it keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And everything else gets bigger, priority. Your heart is there. Your treasure is there. Be careful. And it's so easy nowadays that we're so good. Some are professionals to how to package it good. We come to church, you package it good. Outside the church, it's on package. Where are you at? Where's your heart? You don't go anything. Hear me. You don't get involved with anything of the church, but your heart is everywhere else. We unpackage it. But when we get here, we package it good. Nice wrapping, a big old red bowl. We're good at that, church. We're good at that. And then they call your attention or they tell you something, and you get all flamed up right away. You try to deny it. You try to this and nothing. No. That's where your treasure is. That's where your heart's at. I mean, you couldn't show up here. You couldn't do this and that, but you're over there. Glory. Staying quiet, church. You can't serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted. Here, you're going to be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. He's talking about money, but you could put that in any other rank, any other thing, not just money. You know, that's real easy, church, nowadays. It might not be money, but put something else here. Could be your work. Could be money. Sports, a male, female. It could be a lot of things. Anything. It's like President Trump was here in Coachella. Praise God. Mind you, hey, Pastor, I went to the Coachella. I was over at the president rally and... I just said it because what he said. But then you don't show up for the house of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Praise God, Trump. May God bless him and his family. And if he wins, he wins. But let me tell you something. Trump, he's not your savior. Amen? He's not your savior. Jesus is the savior. Praise the Lord. Got one more. Deuteronomy 30. I'm just going to read it. Just listen to me, church. Verse 15. Now listen, he says, Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. And it says, now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death. Between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and keep his commands, decrees and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live, look what he says, and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you're about to enter and occupy. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Today, I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you will make. Oh, that you will choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says, you make a choice by loving God and committing yourself firmly to him. And I challenge you, church, this morning. You serve him firmly. All the way, 100%. May the Lord help us not to serve God halfways, 20%, 50%. No, all the way, 100%. To the point, hear me, to the point where people see a change in you. And that is very important. God already knows, church. We don't worry about it. God already knows who you are. But it's before the people, your testimony. Your testimony, your reactions, your actions, your testimony. God is good. Please stand, church. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.